Invite you, if you haven't already, to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to talk for a few moments about externals. And let us read the scripture together. I invite you, please, to stand out of respect for God's word and reverence to Him. We're going to read, we'll read 1 through 20 together. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to be reading 1 through 20. We're going to start with verse 3. Let us begin in unison. And Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have otherwise received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" And he replied, "Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." And Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Amen. Please be seated. There is a outline that will follow along with the message. If you find that helpful, please feel free to use that. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, we read, "The Lord does not look at people the way people do. No, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7, "People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." There was a young man, and this young man was probably 16, 17, 18, and he was not much to look at. The scripture tells me that he was ruddy in his appearance. That's a nice compliment, isn't it? John, you look ruddy today, brother. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Pastor, you look ruddy today. I mean, ruddy sounds like muddy, you know? It's like, I'm not sure what that means. It means that he was dark and swarthy because of being in the sun and being sunburned. It also means that he was tough. And we understand that this young man had the job to look after the sheep. And looking after sheep in that day, many thousands of years ago, was a shepherd, a person who looked after sheep. They were kind of looked down. They were kind of despised, you know. And the one thing, if you've been around, how many have been around sheep before? If you don't know, they stink. Them and goats, I don't know which is worse. But if you're around sheep for a while, if you're tending to sheep, guess what? You start to smell like the sheep. So when somebody comes into your presence, they've been watching the sheep, hanging out with the sheep, you're like, dude, you need a bath. So this young man took care of the sheep, and as we read about his life later on, we find out that as he's out there under the stars, man, one of the things he loves to do is he loves to contemplate God. But being a shepherd and being tending the sheep is one thing that he didn't do, didn't get to do, is he didn't do all the religious things that all the other religious people did. Go to the temple and sit around and discuss the law and sit around and discuss matters of ceremony and whether you should wash your hands or not as a ceremonial washing. He didn't have the opportunity to do that. And I guess I would kind of think he's the kind of guy that really wouldn't be very interested in doing that kind of stuff. But what we're told is that people would look at him and they would say, he's really not going to amount to much. He's a shepherd and he'll probably be a shepherd his whole life. The people would not have picked him to do anything except be a shepherd. But God looked at this young man and said, this young man has a heart after me. This young man has a heart that loves me, that seeks me. This young man, I want him to be the next king. And I'm talking about David, who became the next king after the wicked king Saul. He said he has a heart that loves me. Therefore, I want him to be the next king of Israel. People today, as in that day, are very focused on appearances. On the outward appearances. How we dress, how we speak, what you do, and how you do it, where you go, if you're in the in crowd, if you're in the know. I mean, we're not that far from the Capitol Hill. And it's all about who you know. And I found it very interesting over the years I've had some opportunity to interact with some politicians. And I got to be honest with you, even Christian, quote, Christian politicians are pretty up on themselves. They really think very highly of themselves. And I went to an event not too long ago, and there were some politicians there, and they were decked out in their three-piece suit and tie, and man, they looked sharp. And I came that night, I think I might have had a jacket on, but just the regular shirt or a pullover or whatever, and I'm like, I am not interested in dressing for your preference. I could care less what you think of me. Be very honest. I'm really more interested in what the Lord thinks about me and about my heart. And so Jesus, in this parable, makes it clear that he is not interested in externals. He is not interested in the outward appearance. He is not interested in external rituals, meaningless traditions that we might have, and we have plenty in the church. We're like, oh, can you believe these guys? I mean, man, they're just all hung up on these rituals. You know what? So are we. So are we. It's interesting. We had a visitor some time ago, and it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'll meet visitors, and I'll begin to feel, in my humanness, I'll begin to feel underdressed. You know, it's like, you know me. From the day I got here, I don't wear a tie. I hate ties. Oh, by the way, do you know what ties were originally made for? To blow your nose. Yeah. You know, so that you always have a hanky right in front of you. So you're like, oh, oh. It's like, boom. There, you got it. And somehow or another, we've gotten to this point where ties, and if you're wearing a tie, please don't get offended at me. God bless you. You look good. Okay, if you got a tie on. I have no interest in wearing a tie. It's this outward appearance that we want to put forth to people. Someone said to me in this congregation, and they're not here, so I'm not going to embarrass them, but they said, you know, if you're going to be in charge, you need to dress like you're in charge. Dude, you're in the military. I'm not. Okay? I don't want to be in charge. That's not what it's all about. Okay? It's not about being in charge. It's not about how you dress. The Lord Jesus is really not interested in these external kinds of things. And for the people of this day, and especially the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the religious leaders that were supposed to be shepherding and leading the people to worship the Lord with all of their hearts, they are hung up on the externals. And so Jesus wants to know about your heart and about my heart. Do you honor and love Him with your heart? He's not interested in those meaningless kinds of things that are on the outside. He really wants to know about your heart. Now, He wants to know if you honor Him with your heart. And what does that mean when we say that? It means to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up the law, Jesus said. He wants to know if you love Him. How do you know if you love Him? The Scripture says we know that we love God if we keep His what? His commands. We know that we love Him if we keep His commands and we honor Him. What does it mean to honor Him with all of our heart? It means I put Him first in my life and I stay away from idols. There's the command. Stay away from idols. So I don't put anything in front of God. I don't commit idolatry. I don't worship false gods. I put God first in everything in my life. That means Jesus is Lord, not my job. It means Jesus is Lord, not my money. It means Jesus is Lord, not my family. It means Jesus is Lord, not my football. Ooh, Pastor, you've moved from preaching to meddling. I don't even know. Is there a game today? Okay. See, you all know that. You all know. There's two games today. You all know that. And so, you know the clock's ticking. You're more concerned about that than the Word of God. Put that aside. Now, I know I can't go on and on and on either. What's the old saying that the eternal gospel doesn't need an everlasting sermon? Amen. But the Lord goes on about His commands. Honor your father and mother. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. You know, don't be a false witness. Don't bear false testimony. These are the things that Jesus is concerned about. These are the things that Jesus wants to interact with us about. And these religious leaders, boy, they're really in on it. Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? Now there's a burning issue. There's a burning issue. And you might snicker and, laugh a little bit, but you know what? For them, for these religious leaders, it really was a burning issue. They would sit around all day and debate together about not only should you wash your hands, but how you should wash your hands, how much paper you should use or towels you should use to wipe your hands, how much moisture is allowed to be left on your hands before it's considered washed. This is the kind of stuff they would sit around and debate. And Jesus is like, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God for the sake of your traditions. But let me ask you the question up front. What rituals, what traditions are you clinging to? What rituals, outward things, are you focused on in your life so that it's keeping you away from the heart of the matter, your heart? There was a young man who came and visited us on the Tuesday night Bible study, first time he ever came out, and someone who doesn't attend the church told him about our church. And somehow or another, he had interacted with people of the church, and he said to this fellow, he said, oh, that Island Alliance Church, they seem to be a pretty good group of people. And, if you're interested in finding out about the Bible and about God, you probably should go down there. And so he did. I was like, I don't know who you are and who you said this, but thank you. Because that is what we're concerned about. So this young man came out to our Tuesday night study, And he came a couple minutes early and introduced himself, and then he sat, and we had our lesson, we had our study, and we usually break up into smaller groups at that point, and he kind of hung back, and he came over. He was visibly upset. He was visibly upset with me. And I said, "Hey, you seem kind of bent out of shape. What's wrong?" He said, you all didn't start with the Lord's Prayer." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, okay. How about you and I pray together right now?" And so we prayed it together. "Okay, I'll grant you that. That's fine." But then we started talking, and he started talking about, "Well, you know, I'm not sure about the Bible. Not sure if it's really true. And, you know, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And I'm thinking to myself, here you are stumbling over the fact we didn't say the Lord's Prayer, but you don't even believe it. What is that? You're just stuck on tradition. Externals. Something you were brought up in, and it's like, hey, you got to say the Lord's Prayer. You may not believe it, but you got to say it. You got to wash your hands. I don't know exactly what it does, except take germs off your hands, but you got to do it. By the way, it's okay to wash your hands to take germs off. Jesus wasn't saying don't wash your hands. I mean, if you've been out there cleaning up the cow manure, you should wash your hands before you eat. God doesn't care whether you do or not, but you're going to get sick if you don't. You know, that's up to you. But it doesn't make him happy or unhappy that you didn't wash your hands. Moms, it's okay if your boys especially, they don't want to wash their hands. Just something about boys and not wanting to wash their hands. They just don't want to do it. You know, so many times, how many moms have said, "Go in there and wash your hands, they're filthy." Yeah, you have to do that, especially with boys. There's something about dirty hands, they really like that. Let me give you the background on this. The tradition of the elders was a set of rules and regulations that really put a fence around the law. And washing of the hands was one of those rituals that was in this. The tradition of the elders was actually written down, finally moved from oral tradition to being written down in AD 200. And it's called the Mishnah. And if you're interested to find out more about it, you can probably go online and open up a copy of the Mishnah, and you can read it. It has all kinds of stuff in there. How many feet you can walk from your house on the Sabbath. How many feet you are allowed to walk before it becomes work. Because you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. So you can walk 10 steps, and that's not work. But if you walk 11, you are in trouble. Okay? All kinds of stuff like that. And here's one of them. That you have to wash your hands before you eat. That's what they ask, right? That's what they ask of Jesus. Verse 1. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came down to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus, your disciples have dirty hands. Isn't that terrible? The world's going to end because you have dirty hands. I mean, these are the spiritual leaders of the people. And Jesus said, dude, you are completely in the dark. You're completely in the dark. And then he quotes from Isaiah 29:13. Eileen Rich is going to read that for us. We read it, but go ahead and read it again, Miss Eileen, please.
The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men."
Oh, my goodness. This is Isaiah. He's prophesying 700 years before Christ has come on the scene. And so what we understand is, and the people have been stuck on this stuff for hundreds of years. You know, they're focused on, hey, you got to go to the temple. And when you go to the temple, you have to bring a sacrifice. And it's got to be, you know, a bull or a calf. If you don't have money for that, it can be a sheep. If it can't be, you don't have money for that, it can be a pigeon. I mean, all these rules and regulations. It's like the Lord says, sacrifices and offerings I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in those things. To obey is better than sacrifice. And so the Lord wants to know about our hearts. So he points out a example to them of their traditions. He says, you know what? By your traditions, you break the commands of God. And he gives them this example. It's here in verses 4 through 6. He says, you know, we know the command is to honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Ooh. Ooh. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. I think we'd have a lot of dead kids today if we enforced that law as the people of God were supposed to in that day when there was a nation of God. You know, we are not a theocracy here. And the law has been changed, has been fulfilled. But the one that Jesus is quoting, honor your father and mother, remains. And he says to them, whatever help you, but you say that if a man says to his father or mother, verse 5, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. In the, I believe it's in Mark where he tells the same story. He uses the word korban. Okay, he uses the word korban. And you could say, if you have a sum of money, you could say, this gift is korban. It means it is dedicated to God. I'm giving this gift of money to God. And he says, you Pharisees say that if you find out your mother and father are in need, and it's okay if you've said, well, this money is korban, I can't help you. I can't help you because God needs my money. And sorry, you don't get it. And he says, thus, you break the word of God. You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. How much in the church today are rules taught by men? Hey, guys, don't you come in to this church with long hair. Because, you know, you're not a true Christian if you have long hair. And those of you ladies, you have ear bobs on, whew, you're really in trouble. And if you're wearing makeup, oh man, you're really in trouble wearing makeup. I mean, you know, you could go on and on with the rules that have been in church for, you know, hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Dr. A.B. Simpson, who's the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, he was very upset one day because, you know, he was working at the turn of the century where he started a new church in New York City, the New York Gospel Tabernacle. And the immigrants, the Italian immigrants that were coming in, were actually coming into the church. And they were hearing the gospel and they were being saved. But the one thing that they didn't own when they got off the boat, guess what? They didn't have shoes. Most of them didn't have any shoes. And so they were coming into the church, the very prestigious church that he had been at, the New York 4th Street Presbyterian Church. And guess what? Their soiled feet were soiling the new carpet. And so the elders had a conference with Dr. Simpson. They said, Dr. Simpson, we don't want these Italian immigrants coming into our church. Now, you would think Dr. Simpson would get angry and get mad. He didn't. He just said, oh, really? Okay. So the next week before Sunday service, he went in and pulled up all the carpet. And he said, this house is God's house and he wants it open to everyone. Well, you can imagine there was quite a bit of conflict over that. And he ended up resigning from there and he went over and started the New York Gospel Tabernacle. And they swelled, grew exponentially because they were inviting everyone in to hear the gospel and be saved and become part of the true church, the true kingdom of God. Jesus is not interested in rituals. He is not interested in our carpet. You know, carpet's nice and it's fine and everything, but, you know, carpet's carpet. And what's important is that your heart is towards the Lord. And so Jesus says, your rules and regulations have turned people's hearts away from God. It's about His concerns. It's about God's concerns. So number one, adherence to externals does not make us clean or unclean, but rather what comes forth from our heart. That's what Jesus says, right? And by the way, the disciples were very concerned, right? That's what they say to Jesus, verse 12. The disciples come to Him and they say, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" And what does Jesus say? "Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, they will both fall into a pit." He is not interested. He could care less about your title. He was not interested in the religious of the religious, the upper echelon, the Pharisees, teachers of the law. He could care less about that. What He was interested in is people's hearts honoring the Lord and obeying His word. So adherence to externals, it doesn't make us clean or unclean. He says, listen, washing your hands, if you get your food dirty, so what? It goes into the body, through the stomach, and out of the body. It doesn't make a man or a woman clean or unclean. So listen, I can eat as much pizza as I want. And I can put bacon on top of it too. It doesn't make me unclean. Jesus says that stuff doesn't matter. Now, it does affect us in our physical body. You can tell that I've been eating a lot of pizza lately, can't you? Someone said to me, "You're looking kind of thick, Pastor." It's true. I think I had pizza 4 times this week. And we'll probably have some more today, too. I love pizza. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can eat as much pizza as I want to, and I'm not going to gain any weight. Amen. So Jesus is not concerned about these external kinds of things, these rituals and these rules and regulations. But let me ask you again, what are you hung up on? What are you hung up on? And Jesus says, turn your focus away from that kind of stuff. Turn your focus away. Well, you know, I don't really like the worship music. They don't do enough hymns. Some of you over here saying, "Well, you know, I really like that upbeat. You can keep the hymns. I'd rather have more upbeat worship music." And so, "Well, you know, they don't do liturgy in this church." "Well, we need to do more liturgy." No, we don't want more liturgy. We want to do more freedom." And yeah, folks, you know, you're acting schizophrenic, as if God is schizophrenic. He doesn't care about that stuff. You know, now there's times that we have some liturgy here. We have communion and we try to remember to say the Lord's Prayer and we try to remember to say the Apostles' Creed. You know, I don't always get it right. And that's fine to do that. You know, but if we're focused on that, where that's all you do. I remember as a kid, I went to a church that everybody by rote could say the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. You know, they could say it like that. And probably all kinds of stuff they could say, but they walked out that door and they were the most ungodly people in the world. They were worse than unbelievers because they were saying they were followers of God, but they're living like the devil. Those are empty, vain rules taught by men. There's nothing wrong with liturgy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not focused on that. But I'm talking about externals. So number two, what really makes us unclean? It comes forth from our lives out of a fallen heart. We must deal with our hearts. Jesus is so clear. And you know, I hope y'all don't get offended, but I think Jesus is saying these words to us, not just to His disciples. Verse 16, "Are you still so dull?" Hello? Did you hear what Jesus just said? Are you still so dull? Are you getting this? Or are you still stuck on the externals? He says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth are from the heart. And these make a man, a woman, unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, theft, false testimony, slander, These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands or any other ceremonial thing does not make him unclean. We must deal with our hearts. Roger shared a testimony the other day that there was a man, and I hope you don't mind me, I won't use any names, a man that he interacted with in another church some time back who claimed to be a Christian and was bragging about how many women he had slept with. What's wrong with that picture? You're claiming to be a Christian. I should have asked permission before I brought that up. I asked forgiveness. What's wrong with that? Do we have a heart like that? Where, you know, oh, hey, I've been to church this week. And you know what? I even went to Bible study on Tuesday night. And prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And youth group on top of that. And I've been reading from my daily crumb every day this week. But is your heart, my heart, full of these kinds of sin? And more importantly, are we dealing with it? Are we getting before God and saying, God, you know my heart. My heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. I can't even know it. That's what Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah 17. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? You and I can't even know our own hearts. But guess what? God can reveal our hearts to us. He can show us the things that need to change in our hearts. Boy, that old preacher, he just keeps meddling in my business, talking about my football. I know what y'all are thinking. I wish he'd move on. But you see, do you have an idol? Let me ask you a question. Do you have an idol with your football? Is your football more important than hearing from God? So, you know, we go over a little bit in the service, and, you know, I do try to be mindful of those that are back in the nursery and with the children's church, but we have to deal with this issue. Do we have an idol in our lives, a football, or whatever it is that you're thinking of right now as the service needs to come to a close? Or are we more interested in what God wants to say to us, how God wants to deal with our hearts? And I understand our attention span is gotten a whole lot less, but here's, I believe, God's heart for us. He wants us to have hearts that love Him, that honor Him, that we're more concerned about obeying His commands than we are anything else. And I understand it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's not for the purpose of salvation. If you stick around here, we make that very clear. You don't earn your salvation by obeying His commands. You obey His commands because He saved you. Amen? Amen. Let's deal with our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are so loving and gracious to us. And at times, Lord, we also get a rebuke. And these words from the Lord Jesus have rebuked us. Because, Lord, we so often are stuck on the externals. So much so that it keeps us blind from dealing with our hearts. And so, Father, thank You. We ask, Lord, that You point out those things in our hearts that need to be dealt with, Lord. We do want to worship You with all of our hearts. We do want to love You. We do want to obey Your commands because we love You. We need Your help. We need Your grace. We need Your cleansing, Lord. So deal with us. Deal with us, Lord, I pray. Right now, in the quietness of this moment, I wonder if you would be willing to indicate, God has been speaking to me. God has been speaking to me about my heart, that I need to deal with it. I need Him to deal with me. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Would you be willing to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I need my heart to be dealt with. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for Your ministry to these who have indicated, for all of us, Lord, but these especially have indicated they need their heart to be dealt with. Thank you that you do it. You saw those hands, Lord. Work according to your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, I bless these people. Be with us, Lord. Let us walk close with you through this week. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Take time to greet each other. If you want prayer, please come on up, and our elders would be glad to pray with you. First time folks, love to meet you in the lobby, and bless you.